studious young man. I was hoping to have a chance to visit with him on a more private setting so we could study even more. When I was going home, I saw him walking. He said he was staying down at the Best Western. So the first verse that crept into my mind is, who knows, but you might entertain angels unaware. So I thought, since his name is Angel, I'm certainly going to turn around. So I turned around and took him. Then lo and behold, when I got here this afternoon, he had left a message on the answering machine saying if we could give him a ride, he'd like to be here tonight. And he mumbled through the number, and I just couldn't make it out. I got Elaine and Nancy to try to listen to the number. We even called our best guess. I went down to Best Western and asked them at the check-in station. Of course, they have to be more private nowadays. I tried to explain, just didn't do any good. I left my number, so I don't recommend this, but I've got my phone in my pocket. If he calls, I'm going to get one of you to go down and pick him up. He said, I hope to be there for the 6:30 assembly. So he's probably running late. So maybe he will be here, maybe not. This morning we began a lesson entitled Pursuing Love. And we talked about the various aspects of Christian love. We correlated it with several other words, some Greek words, some English words. We talked about the way Paul used it, especially Paul, but we also talked about the way Jesus used the word in his ministry. We also used as our text Ephesians 3, verse 17 and 18. Let me paraphrase just a bit. The context is love, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. And then he says, with all the saints, with all the church, that we may be able to understand. Now remember, the context is love. The length, breadth, height, and depth of God's love. Then we will understand the fullness of God. We began with that statement. We began with that text. We also began with the statement. And I still believe it. With all of my heart, I believe that love is the most essential element in the Christian system today. And I say that based on those three passages I mentioned several times this morning. When Jesus was asked, what is the first and great commandment? He did not hesitate. He said, love. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Also, when he was talking in John chapter 13 about distinguishing ourselves in the world, he did not say it will be our good looks or anything else that separates us from the rest of the world. He said it will be our love. Our love will stand out to the world. That's what he wants us to carry into all the world. Our love for him, our love for souls. And then finally, when Paul was listing the fruit of the Spirit, and it's singular, it's not fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the first one he mentions is love. Therefore, I say even again, that without a doubt, the pursuit of love, finding Christian love, is the most essential part of Christianity today. And remember the passage that Caleb read. God is love. And if God is love, then I want to be loved too. And I know you do also. Now, one more thing or two about our lesson this morning to introduce our lesson tonight. We also said that it was love and the relationship that we have with individuals that also God is very, very interested in. When we have a relationship with our parents, he wants it to be based on love. When we have a relationship with our children, he wants it to be based on love. When we have a relationship with our spouse, he wants it to be based on love. Or our friends and acquaintances at school or at work, people in the world, even people that hate us, our enemies, Jesus said, love your enemies. Wish the best for them. Brethren, I wish all of our enemies were converted to the cause of Jesus Christ. And you know what? They wouldn't be our enemies anymore. So we need to work on that relationship of love. And Paul says on the second text we read, press on and desire the good works, especially that of preaching or prophecy. Now let's begin tonight with the passage we ended this morning, 1 Corinthians 13. And if you will, just hold your testaments open to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to be reading that whole chapter in just a few moments. Now, brethren, all of us as Sunday night Christians, and yes, there is a difference, are very familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. If I would have just said, now let's turn to the great chapter on love, every one of us would have turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But in order to fully understand 1 Corinthians 13, we need to back up into chapter 12. Now, when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians also, miraculous gifts were still available to the Christians. The Spirit of God would empower and overpower them. They would speak in unlearned languages or unknown tongues. They would have a miraculous degree of faith and knowledge. They would be able to heal the sick and things like that, given to them the power of the Holy Spirit. They were overpowered or empowered. So when he was writing to the Corinthians, those gifts were still available. And so he talks in great lengths about those gifts, how they are best used in God's kingdom. But when we get to the very end of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, but I'll show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way than the miraculous gifts. And as we turn the page and go into chapter 13, there is that more excellent way, love. And he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if love is not my motivation, I'm paraphrasing, then I am just noise, a clanging cymbal, a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In fact, even more than that, if love is not my motivation, Paul says, I am nothing. Now, brethren, God wants us to be something. He wants us to be Christians. He wants us to wear that as our armor. He wants us to display that to the world. God doesn't want us to be nothing. He wants us to be something. He wants us to be people of love. Now, this morning we also discussed those four Greek words that are defined love. Only two of them are found in our Testament. We looked briefly at phileo, that's friendship. We'll look at that briefly again tonight. But we're going to concentrate tonight on finishing our discussion about agape. Now, in the passage I read at first and the passage I just read from 1 Corinthians 13, the Greek word that Paul uses is agape. That's what we're striving for, agape. That's what we're longing for, agape. And if we're not, then we're just noise. If that is not our motivation, then we are nothing in God's sight. But again, God wants us to be something. He wants us to be Christians. He wants us to represent Christ in our lives every day, not just when we meet on Sunday and Wednesday. He wants us to be Christians all of the time, be striving for that, be longing for that, people of love. Not just people out here in the name of religion making noise like sounding brass or clanging cymbals. He wants us to be sincere. And if we're not searching for and trying to apply this teaching of love into our life, Paul says we are nothing. And then we also talked about the fact that it was agape that caused Jesus to leave heaven, caused God to ask Jesus or tell Jesus to leave heaven and come to the earth. We're all so familiar with John 3:16, but Jesus is defining there God's love for us. God had such strong love, such strong feeling for us that he was willing to let his son die for us. Rather, none of us would allow our children to die for someone else. We might. We're not going to let our children die for somebody else. And we're especially not going to let them die for someone who does not care for him. But God did. God sent his son to die for us. I also said this morning that in order to come to a fullness of God, there has to be a response on our part. Now, the general consensus of the world is, if I just wear the name of Christ, eternally everything will be all right. And brethren, that sounds very, very good. Just wear the name. Just come to church. Some people don't even believe you need to do that. Just, well, my wife's a Christian, therefore I'm going to be saved as well. Or my grandfather was a preacher, therefore I'm going to be saved as well. That sounds well and good, but that's certainly not consistent with the Bible. Now, what is the response that God wants from us? I'm going to pause, not for a verbal answer, but to give you a chance to think. What is the response to love each other? Listen to what Jesus says. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, that would be the commandment on love, it is he that loves me. And in John 14, 15, though we sometimes think it's cold and calculated, it is not. Jesus says, and I'm going to use a modern translation, if you know my commandments, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not that we know the commandments, but that we will apply them to our lives. So our love for each other that Jesus is talking about, that's the kind of love that sent Jesus to the cross. That's the kind of love that he died to give us. It's not love of complacency or casual affection or tolerance. I've even heard religious people, well, it doesn't matter what anyone believes as long as we just get along. That's not what Jesus said when he said the world's going to hate you because it hates me. That's not what Jesus said when he said you've got to choose him even over your family members. That's not what Jesus said. The kind of love that Jesus is talking about, the kind of love that Jesus died for, is the kind of love that gets us to heaven. And that's why I say emphatically, love is the most essential part of the Christian's life. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. Now, brethren, if we are not already, God wants us to treat people right. You know, it says about Jesus, he went about doing good. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody said that about us? And I have a feeling they do. Jesus wants us to be kind and sweet and nice and affectionate. The church in Rome must have had some real problems, because Paul uses this very, very simple approach to them. He said, be ye kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. Choose each other in our lives. Now, brethren, what I really want us to see in this lesson is that this is God's desire for us. That's why Jesus said, I've given you a commandment. Let's call it a new commandment, that you love each other to the same degree that he loved us. He went to his death for us. We need to love each other that much as well. And if we would truly learn how to love him and love one another, then we will truly learn about Almighty God. Without love, we are nothing. Love is the glue that holds this congregation together. It's the glue that holds the whole world's church together. Colossians 3:14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond, the cement of perfection. So these, you know, when Paul was talking about the essentials, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 13 in just a moment. When he talked about the essentials in our relationship with God, faith, hope, and love, he singled out love and says that is even greater. Greater than our faith, because our faith works in love. Now abide these three, faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. I want to take the opportunity, because I just haven't done it in a long, long time, to read 1 Corinthians 13, reading from the New King James. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and knowledge, and I have all faith that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Now remember, he's writing to people where the miraculous gifts were still available. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, the ultimate sacrifice, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Why? Because love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, nor is and is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now remember again, he's just finished a great discourse on miraculous gifts. Now he's talking a better way to reach the lost, and it is love. That is the more excellent way. But where there are prophecies, that's what he's just talked about, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, that's a miraculous degree of knowledge, it will vanish away. For now we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Now what came to the church, what came to us as Christians so that we don't need the miraculous gifts anymore? The New Testament, that's right. In fact, I like to go a half a step further than that. The bringing together of the New Testament. Because now he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I didn't know all the things I was even talking about. I was overpowered by the Holy Spirit. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man and could read this scripture and prove the truth with scripture, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, King James, New King James, maybe even the translation you're reading says mirror. It's actually a glass. It's something you look through, a glass. We look, it's like we're looking through a window pane dimly. But then, when the perfect has come, we will be able to see face to face. For now we know in part, but we shall know just as we are also known. And then he says, we abide in faith, hope, and love. That's what the church abides in. But the greatest is love, because we will carry love with us into heaven. Don't need faith anymore. Don't need hope anymore. But we'll continue to love in heaven. But that's not the only thing Paul said about it. Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith working through love. Circumcision represents the Jewish race. Uncircumcision race. Describes the Gentile race. So there's no advantage whether we're Jewish Christians or Gentile Christians. What matters is that we have faith working in love. Therefore, it is impossible to please. If it is impossible to please God without faith, it is certainly impossible to please God without love. Now, there's a wrong kind of love. And that is falling in love with the world. I like to use Demas as my example. He fell in love with the world. For some reason, he decided to turn his back on Paul, turn his back on Christ, having loved this present world and the sinfulness, I suppose, of this present world. So that's not the kind of love. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all the things that are in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the vainglory of life, belongs to the world. Let it stay in the world. Those things do not belong to God. So Jesus says, instead of loving the world, we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. James calls it the royal law, the divine law, the law with God's authority. And think about this. If we're lacking in our desire for things that are important to Christ, we're just not getting things accomplished that we want to get accomplished for Christ. Kind of like Paul said, I know what I need to do. I just never find time, or I never get around to doing it. Maybe it's not a time problem. Maybe it's not a talent problem. Maybe it's a love problem. Maybe deep down we're really not seeking first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. We're worried about those things of the world. Let's make sure love is not what we're lacking. So we need to love. Love God with all our heart, soul, mind. Mark even adds strength. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. On these two, which are really one, love, rest all the teaching of Moses and all the teaching of the prophets. All the Old Testament was pointing to Jesus. Jesus is the personification of God's love. May we be encouraged to follow these teachings. Perhaps tonight there's one or more who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation. If you find that that is you, we encourage you to come as we stand together and sing.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice, leave with him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross.